von der Mishnah Kelim Perek Chof Mishnah Beit, a chemet chalilim, a bagpipe, is not considered to be suitable for sitting on. Don't try that at home. And it's tohora min hamidras because of that. How about a arevat pisonot? So that's this large bowl-like container that you use for construction. And pisonot is from the word for pisat, like pisat regev. So you have these big pieces of gravel, stone that you're going to mix with to make cement. You're going to put between the large bricks or stones that you're making a wall. And that is a machlokas. But Shammai says, look, I mean, you definitely see, by the way, you really do see this, you know, those big white, gigantic construction site baskets that they use that are made out of that plastic material. So when they're filled, the people that are working will actually sit on them to rest. And because of that, Big Shammai says they're tamei midras because they're dual purpose. Because it's the workers who sit on them. The workers are not going to say, amod v'naseh melachtenu. Can you hear me or not? If you can hear me, we'll just keep going with this bandwidth, and hopefully it will improve. Beit Hillel Omrim, no. Can only be mekabel tamei mace because it's made out of wood, and these were solid bowls, not like what I described. And you can't sit on them because since regular people don't sit on them, if a guy would come along and try sitting on one, the worker would say, get up and asa melachtenu. And that's exactly, as we learned in last week's parasha, that's exactly what is not metame b'midras. Now, if you've got this very big areva, so an areva is used for kneading. And this thing is between the size of 2 lugs and 9 kav, which means between 2 lugs and 36 lugs. So if it's between that size, then only if it got a crack in it and it cannot be used as an areva, is it a proper size to sit on. If it's smaller than that, it's too small to sit on. And therefore, even if it's got a crack, you will not use it for sitting. And if it's larger than that, it's uncomfortable to sit on. So after it cracks, well, you can't use it anymore to pour your water, or your apple juice or milk to use for your dough. You can't pour it in there because it'll leak out of the crack. So you're not going to throw it out. You turn it upside down to use as a garden seat. So because of that, it will be metame midras. Now, imagine you put it out in your garden to sit on and it rains. What happens when it rains is that the wood will often swell shut. Now you no longer have a crack down the middle of your areva. So if inicha b'gshamim v'nitpecha, now it becomes tameh only with tumas meis and not midras, because now you can use it for kneading. It is no longer usable for sitting because of amod v'naseh melachtenu. And that's fascinating because if you put it out into the sun again, and it's one of these hot days, ruach kadim, and it's a chamsin, then what's going to happen is it'll crack again because the crack will come right back after it dries. So then at that moment, again, it's used to sit on. So then it's mekabel midras. Now, this is fascinating because it turns out that a broken kli is more chomer than a whole kli. Because when it was a broken kli, it was mekabel tumas midras, which is very chomer and makes it an avatuma. When it was a whole kli, it could only be mekabel tumas mace. So it's fascinating that the shirayim of the kli are more chomer than the original whole kli. There's another case where this is true, which we had before, actually, and that would be chomer b'shiore kli nitzari mitchilatan. We were talking about wicker baskets. We had that back at Perek Dezayin, and over there we said no kind of wicker kli is ever going to become tameh until you finish the Gemar Malacha. What is the finishing of the Gemar Malacha? It's making that rim around the top of it so that the pieces don't stick out and scratch you and so on. Now, if mitchilatam, when you're manufacturing them, they will not become tame unless you have finished them completely up until the gemar kli. It's considered to be golmim and it's not able to be mekabel tuma. So mitchilatan in a mekablim tuma achi yitchasmu, until you make that rim around it. But once you made it into kli and now it's mekabel tuma and it is nitchasmu, so then even though it broke off and some of that rim is gone, it doesn't matter because as long as they will still be mekabel kol shehen, they're still going to become tummy. So once again, as long as it's functional, it's going to be more chomer than it was when you hadn't yet finished it and it was brand new. So it's similar, not quite as big a rosha as the other case. Now, in this perek, we're going to be introducing a theme that is very central to the last part of Kalim, the last 10 parakim, and that is machinery. Now, machinery is, introduces a new question, which is, we talked about it a little bit before, which is the question of b'shas melacha, shalo b'shas melacha, and how could a part of something that has no shaychus to being a kli on its own, once it becomes part of a type of machine, it will become tame. And now we have to decide, is that a permanent kind of thing, or does that mean only when it's turned on? Is it considered to be a machine, and so on and so forth? What we're going to start with over here is actually a very gentle concept of machine, which in a way one could say we introduced earlier, because we had the question about various kelim that are partially made out of metal and partially made out of wood. So here we're going to talk about the Gemara we just had back in Masechet Shabbat, where we were talking about the question of whether a piece of wood that you stuck into an axe head is considered to be Bekabel Tuma even when it's not in use. And we were mechalik from the case that we had earlier, because over here, Adam Asui, to take out the piece of junk wood and just throw it into the fireplace, and because of that, it does not retain its Tuma or a din of Yad afterwards. So it's not really exactly this case. So we're going to start with the simple case that we had in Shabbos. And this is makel sha'asa'o beit yad l'kordon. So you took a stick just off of the ground. So you have a stick. You stick it into your axe top. You didn't have a handle on it. And b'shas melacha, this is considered to be a chibur l'tuma, because while you're using it, it forms at least a yad to the kli. And since the Torah considers a yad to be a chelik of the kli vis-a-vis kabbalas tuma or hotzoas tuma, to be mitame or mitame, it would be, for all intents and purposes, part of the kli. But when you're not using it, even if you left it in there, since, as the Gemara and Shabbos says, it's osui, to be thrown out, that is not considered to be muchat. Now, our first simple machine was an early version of the Mazda 6, which was called the Diostar. Now, the Diostar, that's quite an interesting name for a car, but actually a Diostar is not a car. So a Diostar is a more complex type of spinning. So normally a spinning wheel, you just have like the not yet spun thread on a spindle, and it twists, and then you hold it and you pull the thread out as it's twisted. So you're using like a flywheel effect in order to provide the twist. In this case, what you do is, if anybody has a picture that would be useful, maybe Calvin can show us something. In this case, what you do is but when Calvin does it, he shows it on the screen. Okay. I don't know. He knows how to do it. Okay, but show us. Anyway, he's not Calvining this morning. Okay, there you go. A very pretty dew star, sort of. It's not a very well-done dew star. But the part that's not done well over here is the spindle. But, I mean, okay, the spindle, it's showing that it's off-site. Okay? So what you do is, as the spindle feeds out thread, which is not being shown properly over here. It looks like you're just taking thread off of a already spun thread. But as you're spinning the thread, thanks, let's see it. There we go. So it comes off onto these rods. And that way you're able to keep the thread separately, also put them under pressure as you pull it. And you can turn this thing in a way that gets the thread, as you could see, to go around in that very beautiful shape, which is called a dew star. So that, what would be the din over there? Now, this dew star could be really very simple. It could be just like any plain stick, as long as you've got two holes in that stick. And, of course, it's going to be a pshutekli eitz. But once you stick those little metal pieces through it, it, it's no longer pshut that creates, it is now a machine. And as a functional machine, the entire thing is going to be able to be mekabel tuma. But it will only be a chibur l'tuma b'sha'at melacha. Why? Because it's not considered to be a permanent arrangement since you just pull out the sticks, of the rods from the stick. However, suppose you have a klunas. Now, a klunas is a pole. Do you have a picture of that, Ari? So if you take the, you take this serious pole that's stuck into the ground and you attach your dew star to that, now that means you are not going to be taking it apart because now you took the time to make it part of something that's going to be permanent. Then the whole thing remains tameh, even shelo b'shat melacha, because now that means you view it as a permanent chibur. But that doesn't mean that the klonus itself is part of the dew star. And therefore, it's not considered to be a chibur because the, actually the klonus doesn't really do anything but support the dew star. And therefore, you can still turn it because it's got the hole is not going to keep it, making it impossible to turn. But it's not really part of it. It still remains a pshute kliets, which is also ilamalot. And because of that, the pole in the middle that is the dew star is the still going to be mekabel tuma as the dew star. Now, suppose you made the actual klunas into a dew star, and you made a hole right through the klunas, right? Now, the klunas itself is a tall post. It may be like 6 feet high or something. The only the area that you turned into the dew star is going to be mekabel tuma. The rest of that big post is not considered to be part of the dew star, and it is not going to be mekabel tuma, especially if it's mechubar lekarka. We have a very similar to a case like this, where you have a chair, and the chair was hung onto a klonus. So in that case, the chair could still be mekabel tumas midrash, because obviously it doesn't lose its shame of a chair, and you could sit on it, but it's not considered to be part of the klonus, and the klonus cannot be mekabel tuma. It's still considered to be pshutei kliets. How about if you had a large klonus and you made a chair in it? You hollowed out part of the klonus to be able to sit on that part. Well, that's similar to making part of it a dew star, and that part of the klonus indeed will be mekabel tuma, but only the seat area will be mekabel tumas midras. There's also a case where if you take a chair and you connect it to a beam in a Beit Chabad, into an olive press, the chair is still going to be mekabel tuma, and it doesn't lose its shame because it could still be taken off and we're not going to make it lose its din of a chair. And it's not considered to be part of the korah of the Beit Chabad to be metame the Beit Chabad and turn it into something that'd be mekabel tuma as a midrash. But suppose you actually make a chair out of the Koras Beis Chabad so that you carve out the top of the Beis Chabad, then the, for sure, even the chair is tahor. Because if you try sitting in it, the guys that are working in the Beis Chabad are going to say, will you please get off of the Koras so that we can get to work over here, which of course is the classic Amod V'Nase Malachtenu. And because of that, Mibnei Shomrim Lo, Amod v'nase et malachtenu, and that is the criterion for the question about something that would be mekabel tuma as midras. So now getting back to the cases of the areva that we heard, we had in Mishnah Beit. So now in the case where it had this crack, you turned it upside down, you put it into your garden, and now it became a garden seat. Now we said over there that's only if, Barnea, you're driving us nuts. Is that hard-pressed or cold-pressed? So if you put this thing down, it said it's a maximum of 9 kav. That's how far you can go. It's 36 lug. If it's bigger than that, then it's not going to be mekabel tuma. Is there any way that it could be mekabel tuma? Yes. Because even if it was bigger than that, it's an areva gedola. It got a hole that was big enough to let the rimonim out. And we said that always takes away the din of Kabbalah's tuma on a kli eitz. So what you did is you turned it upside down and put it in your garden. But that means only that you were koveya it. Over here, it doesn't have a crack. Over here, it literally it lost its ability to be makabel at all, anything, because of the shear of rimonim. And you decided, okay, put it upside down, I'm going to sit on it. So Rabbi Akiva says, why wouldn't that be tamei? I mean, a kol hakelim yordim ledei tumatan b'machshava, and over here your machshava was to sit on it. The chachamim say, no, it will not become tamei unless you actually cut it out a little bit, because it is simply inconvenient to sit on it. And because of that, if something was already a kli and you want to turn it into another kli, that's not called kol hakelim yordim ledei tumatan b'machshava. The classic case of kol hakelim yordim ledei tumatan would be like the case that we spoke about. You have a skin, a hide. Now, a hide is not considered to be a kli. But suppose you decide to use this hide as a sheepskin rug. At that point, it becomes roy to be makabel tumas midrash on the spot. You don't need to do anything. Suppose you decide, just in your mind, you're going to use this skin as a tablecloth. At that point, it becomes roy lekabel tumas meis or tumas sheretz and so on. But that's because it hasn't yet been kavua as a kli, and the last step is your machshava, that you view it as a kli. But once something has been defined as a kli, say the chachamim, you can't change it into a different type of kli, which would be makabel tum in a completely different way, such as over here where you take a bowl and you turn it into a bench in your garden, and therefore it will not be makabel tum. Unless you actually do something to it, you're mekatzea it, you cut it down a little bit so it's not too tall to sit on, or something like that. How about if you take this areva and you use it as a bowl? And you can't use it as a bowl for yourself because it's already, it allows pomegranates out. But you could certainly use it for animal feed. So suppose you make it a feeding trough, right? And you make it an avos to behema. So at that point, it's functional, and then it can become tumei, because this is no longer as a balabayit. This is for animals, and animal feed usually is like big pieces of straw. So you filled it up with straw, it's not going to fall through. And then even if you attach it to the wall, so it should be at the height of the animal's head, it's not considered to be mechuber lekarka. Because remember, as we said before, only things which are initially mechuber lekarka or are made lechatchila with the intent to be mechuber lekarka. Remember, we talked about this in terms of mikveh, why it's such a problem to be able to use pipes to get water into a mikveh because they're kalim, unless they're specifically manufactured for chibur lekarka or they're actually made in the karka. So the same thing is true over here. Even if you attach it to a wall, which normally if something was made that way, it would not be mekabel tuma. Here it is mekabel tuma.